Hi, and thanks for tuning in to Sunday Morning. I'm Nathan Scott with two very special guests in the studio with me from Maryland Public Television, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. I have with me the president and CEO of Maryland Public Television, Larry Unger, as well as the managing director of programming, Kate Pearson. Thank you so much to both of you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us today.
So the first thing that I'm curious about, and we'll talk about the 50th anniversary in just a little bit, is how you came to public television in general. This is can seem like a niche channel to some people. It's not. We'll touch more on that later as well. But Mr. Unger, can you talk a little bit about how you came to the station?
I sure can, and it's a little bit unusual. I actually spent almost 30 years in the financial services industry. And when we sold the last bank that I was with, I looked for something else to do. The timing was just correct. I went in as a three-month contractor, and that was 22 years ago. And I just have to tell you, it's been a great ride for me. I love what public television does, and I've really enjoyed it.
And Kate, how did you come to MPT?
Well, I came to MPT by way of cable television. Mm-hmm. This is my first foray into public television. I began my television career at CNN Headline News way back in the 90s and was with other cable television channels such as TNT, HBO, Latin America, and then the documentary channel. And I'm a huge fan and always have been a huge fan of public television anyway, having grown up on it myself. So when I left the documentary channel and I saw that there was a position available in Maryland, I jumped at the chance and was lucky enough to be hired.
So you mentioned all the different channels that you've worked at prior to coming to MPT. And, you know, there are a lot of nonfiction channels in that list of things. MPT has not only great nonfiction programming, but also fictional programming, whether you have, you know, your Masterpiece Theater or your BBC programs that air during afternoon tea. You also have a lot of the more self-help sort of things, cooking, This Old House, gardening, all that sort of stuff. How has it been making the transition from some of the more news-based material to the combination of that and more lifestyle-oriented stuff?
Well, it was very organic for me because actually working in news and documentary during the day would sort of force me to come home and have to zone out completely on British programming, mysteries, or dramas. And I love period dramas anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the fact that, as you mentioned, in public television, there's such a wide variety. It is a general audience. It's not really niche. You can find your niche there. But it appeals to, you know, it's got kids in the morning, and then it has, as you said, we air afternoon tea. And we also have nonfiction and news, as well as independent documentaries, such as the kind you can find on POV or Independent Lens, for those independent documentary fans.
And one other thing people may not realize if they haven't watched MPT in a while is that now that the methods that televisions get their signals out of the air have changed, there's more than one MPT station. Larry, how many different stations does MPT operate?
We actually operate four different channels right now. Of course, we have our main channel. The second one is something that we call Create, and that is lifestyle programming, a lot of cooking, a lot of travel, a lot of fun. And then we have a 24/7 kids channel, which is just great for those mothers with children that are up in the middle of the night. And of course, our final channel is NHK World, and that's really a little bit different because it's news and other formats from an Asian perspective. It's all English language, and really we've had great success with that. So we've really enjoyed bringing that to the Maryland public.
And some of those programs, if you're not aware of exactly what NHK World is, they aren't completely isolated to that station. They will occasionally air on some of the more mainstream stations as well. That way you can get a taste of the sort of content that you're going to be getting. Kate, you talked a moment ago about growing up on MPT, which is something that I did as well, whether it was watching things like This Old House or Sewing with Nancy. While my mother had them on, or getting my own programming with Between the Lions, Arthur, even Bob the VidTech, who is specific to MPT. You know, there are a lot of great memories that are, you know, that were created by the station. Can you tell me what the difference is between some of the nationally packaged stuff that comes from individual stations, but then is broadcast nationwide and some of the more locally produced MPT programs?
Well, that's a great question because it really gets to the heart of public television. Each member station of PBS, which is, as you know, PBS is kind of the mothership, each local station, wherever you are in the United States, brings its own flavor to its kids and to its local audiences. So here in Maryland, you had Hodgepodge Lodge with Miss Jean. I grew up in South Florida, and I didn't have that, but I had another children's show. So whether it's for kids or for the adult audiences, when you turn on your local television station in your own market, you're going to find programming that is for you and your community. Here we have Maryland Farm and Harvest and Outdoors Maryland. Other stations where, as I said, across the country, you'll find original programming that's been produced by their stations. There are other national programs, as you mentioned, Travels with Darlie, Samantha Brown, Places to Live, Bare Feet with Michaela. Those are nationally produced, but those hosts go all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll call us and they'll say, hey, we're going to be taping in your area or in the D.C. area or the Baltimore area, and they'll let us know, and that way we can promote it for our viewers.
And we have some nationally produced programs out of MPT as well, the most famous one I can think of being Motor Week, which has been running for a while on a lot of PBS member stations. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like developing that show or, you know, working with it and getting it out to those other markets?
Well, I sure can, and it's been a great success story, and I have to say that if you ask me what my favorite PBS program is, it's Motor Week. I'm kind of a car guy.
Uh-huh.
But Motor Week has been going on, we're in our 39th season.
Wow.
Think about that. How many TV programs do you know that have lasted 39 years? It goes out all over this country. We actually have a Spanish language version that goes internationally. John Davis created that program, is still the host of the program. And every now and then, they let me sit in one of the really cool cars.
And it's just, it's a very informative show. It keeps things entertaining. But, you know, for people who may be fans of shows like Top Gear, which is a BBC production, even though it's about cars, that's a show that is a lot more, like, they have reviews, but they don't really give you a lot of the information that you would need if you're going out to buy one. Motor Week is something, if you're considering buying a car, this is absolutely a valuable resource, not just on the television station, but also with their web resources to go and do some research about what car is going to be best for you and your lifestyle. And to have it originate here in Maryland is just something I'm sure the stations are very, very proud of. With stations like public television, viewer support is hugely important. And one of the other things that I love about MPT is that your pledge drives have had the same person hosting them for years. It's the same person who's been hosting them since I was growing up, and I only knew her as Pledge Lady. Can you tell me a little bit about her involvement, how long she's been at the station?
Well, Rhea is one of the most remarkable people I have ever met. And, you know, I can't say her age, but she's past 39 now. And I'm telling you, I have a problem keeping up with her. I hope she's here certainly as long as I'm here. She does an amazing job, and she absolutely loves Maryland Public Television and loves what she does.
And you get to talk about so many different things in the pledge drives, bring some of the just wide variety of programs to people's attention that they may not catch during the regular viewing hours. I want to talk a little bit about some of the ways that people can catch shows online if they didn't get a chance to watch them while they were on TV, with services like Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus all making big news. Public television has not been left out of that. They have their own way of accessing programs after they've already aired. Is that correct?
That's right. We have, outside of the MPT website, which does have its own free local programming and a few of our local shows that we bring in for Chesapeake Bay Week and other initiatives like that, we take part in PBS's Passport, which is kind of our own version of Netflix. It is an online resource. You can join as a member, which I think it's $5 a month, and you get all of the shows at once for binging. So you have an archive of a lot of old series. You have current series, which are running on the linear channel, which is what we call the over-the-air channel, And there's an app. We have the MPT app. And so, you know, one of the changing and evolving audience trends we've seen is that there's a certain age of audience who is not watching TV at the exact time. And they're, as you know, they're looking, if they're not using their DVR, they're looking for it online.
Right.
Passport is the place to go, or the app is the place to go to find your favorite shows online. And the other thing about Passport is that they often will sort of test shows out there. They'll have a little edgier series or more contemporary series that a younger demographic may find. And if they see that the audience is really doing well on there and the numbers are doing well, then we'll bring it to the broadcast, which is kind of a different way to go about things in the PBS world. But again, we're all evolving.
Right. It's a great way to engage with the audience, to get research on who's watching what shows when. By the way, if you're just tuning in, my name is Nathan Scott. You're listening to Sunday Morning. I'm speaking with Larry Unger, the president and CEO of MPT, as well as Kate Pearson, the managing director of programming for the stations. Kate, you mentioned just a moment ago the different demographics that use different methods of accessing MPT's programming. Can you tell me a little bit about the typical viewer of MPT? Is there a specific age group that uses it more than another, or is it fairly broad?
I think that the average viewer of online, this is excluding the children's, because we do have the 24/7 children's digital channel, which is 24/7. Usually between 25 and 55 is going to be your online. Apparently, our most prevalent is a female in her 40s. And then outside of that, the broadcast viewer tends to be 65 and older. And that, by broadcast, I mean over the air and on television, watching our actual channel.
Right. And this is something where very recently a lot of those older viewers, and this is something of a PSA, may have had to rescan their TVs in order to get those channels back. They didn't go anywhere. They just, the way that the signal gets to your TV changed. So if you find that it's missing, just either, you know, look at your manual or find a millennial or figure out whatever way you need to rescan it, and those channels will be right back.
Including calling our station. We will help you to do the rescan. And in fact, as you may be aware, we're the only broadcaster that gets into every part of Maryland, and we roll into all the surrounding states, including the District of Columbia.
Right.
And this whole repack will be going to full power on all the stations, and it should provide a much better signal for the viewing public.
And from personal experience, that's absolutely what I've found. The stations are coming in a lot clearer and a lot more consistently. You spoke just a moment ago about the access that all of Maryland has to MPT. You have a lot of partner signals throughout the state where, you know, if you can't get the originating signal here in the Baltimore area, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a lack of access elsewhere in the state. Do you program any differently, or is that the same broadcast on all those different channels?
Actually, it's exactly the same programming whether you're in Oakland or Salisbury or in Hagerstown. We send the same signal everywhere. We have the ability to send different. We actually want to send the same things, all four channels, to everywhere in Maryland.
So MPT, it's 50th anniversary. It's essentially been around as long as public television in America in general. It's one of, if not the longest running station, it being launched around the same time that public television got funding from the United States government to exist in the first place. In those 50 years, what are some of the biggest accomplishments of MPT in your view?
Well, there's no question. If you look back, beginning Wall Street Week with Louis Rukeyser was huge for Maryland public television. I believe it probably put Owings Mills on the national map. More recently, we did a salute to Maryland's Vietnam veterans, which I'm going to be proud of for as long as I'm around. And currently, we're really involved in helping with the problem of opioids in the state of Maryland. And we're really proud when we can do something to help the community that that we all live and work in.
And the community work that MPT does is important as well. The dedication to raising awareness about the issue of opioids, which is getting attention as not just a local problem, but a national problem now, is absolutely important. What are some of the other ways that MPT is involved in the broadcast area?
MPT has been working with the Maryland Department of Health, and we've been creating numerous PSAs, those are public service announcements, in English and Spanish that run on radio stations and other television stations, as well as in some gas stations on the gas video at the gas pump. So these types of PSAs all have different themes, whether it's anti-stigma or talk to your doctor, or there's a new theme that is call 911 and don't run, and that means that you will not be, if you call for help, if somebody around you has collapsed, you will not be in trouble at all with the police. So there's no problem if you call in somebody, you will not yourself be in trouble.
And the community involvement, again, just very important. Opioids in the Baltimore area in particular, but also the surrounding counties, Harford, Carroll, Baltimore County itself, Anne Arundel, is something that is important that it be addressed from all angles, and that MPT is doing their part to get that message out, especially when it has such a wide range of people watching it, is really, really important. I'd like to turn back to programming for a moment. We've gotten away from that a little bit, and of course, the main product, the main thing that MPT has to offer is its programming. Kate, as the managing director of programming, how do you go about deciding which of the national shows are going to air on the local station?
Well, there are a number of shows which will be airing on all public stations across the U.S. who are member stations of PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And those are what we call the Icon Series. So as you mentioned earlier, Masterpiece on Sunday nights, Antiques Roadshow on Monday nights, Nature and Nova.
I would imagine the Ken Burns Country Music documentary, which just wrapped up a little earlier this week, will have also been on that list.
Absolutely. We'll run everything Ken Burns ever does. So we try to stay loyal to what the national schedule is, because there is a national schedule that PBS highly suggests, and we are completely in agreement with that. There are spaces for us to shine through as our own Maryland Public Television channel, and that's where the fun part for me comes in. It's all fun. But I really love being able to decide which shows that we produce are going to be placed where. And I work with the producers on certain initiatives that we all come together as an organization to help out with, which is, for example, Chesapeake Bay Week. That is completely outside of my realm. I program it, but we've got a production staff who chooses the films, who produces shorts for those films. We have Frank Sesno, who comes aboard every year to host our summit. And that's something we're really proud of, because that's something that only Maryland Public Television can offer.
And there are two documentaries that'll be coming up. They're in production now about two other Maryland icons, Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass. Can you tell me a little bit about how those came about and how you're going to get those out to the public?
Absolutely. We're very proud and very honored that that our state has been helpful in helping us produce these two documentaries. And Stanley Nelson, who is a world-renowned documentarian who has worked many times with PBS, is at the helm of these two documentaries. Our executive producer, Mike English, is running the production schedule for both of those, and they're in early production now. I would say they're even in pre-production right now. So working with Firelight Films, Maryland Public Television will have the rollout strategy. They're both going to be available, I believe, by February 2022. And we also have some digital shorts that people will be able to access online to watch how those are rolling out, including a short piece on the two statues. There's a statue of Harriet Tubman and of Frederick Douglass, which are very shortly going to be placed in the State House, which were commissioned and created in New York City.
Both of these documentaries will be national documentaries, so they'll be played on PBS throughout the country. These are not just local programs for us.
But they're a fantastic partnership between the stations all working on this together, and that's, again, one of the awesome things about public television is that, you know, on the one hand, you each have your local productions that are very much for your audience and your home state, but then you also have these national things which you can all partner together on and create something where the sum is greater than its parts. I'd like to turn to a different programming challenge, though, and we mentioned it at the top of the program, which is that the entire reason that you're here is the 50th anniversary of MPT, which will have a special broadcast on, I guess, 6 days from now, this upcoming Saturday. How challenging was it to decide out of 50 years worth of content what exactly you're going to air on that night?
Well, I will just say from my end, it was a fun discussion among many people in the room, some of whom have been there for the full 50 years. A lot of the programs from the earlier days were not actually in the best of shape to be able to program, so we quickly culled down the list, and we decided to pay homage to more of a decade look, trying to find something maybe from the 80s, the 90s, maybe even the 70s, to do it that way and not just focus on one show but have three or four different shows.
And that's not the only thing that the station is doing to celebrate the 50th anniversary. You also have a fantastic book that has a lot about the history of it, and then a traveling exhibit. Is that correct?
Actually, there are two. They've been traveling the state, I think, for about the last 6 months, and will continue for the next 6 months. Generally, they're in libraries around the state. You can check our website at mpt.org to see where they'll be and when they'll be in your area. We've gotten a good reaction, and they're just about everywhere.
And so, again, that the broadcast for the MPT 50th anniversary documentary will be this Saturday, October 5th. You can go to the MPT website to find the exact time. And then the traveling exhibit is going to be going on throughout the rest of the year. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, MPT has, some of its programming especially, has really come back to the forefront of pop culture in the last couple of years. I'm thinking specifically of people like Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers, who in, you know, all the political turmoil that is going on in people's lives or the anxieties of social media or any of this other stuff are really kind of a safe haven where people can go and feel that they're speaking with a friend. In either of your experiences, what are some of the most powerful ways in which you've seen MPT be able to reach people where they are?
Well, from my end as the programmer, I get phone calls. I just flat out hear directly from viewers, which did not happen when I was in cable. And I think that, once again, taking the local from the national. So if there's a national feeling of unrest, if communities are feeling kind of divisive or on shaky ground, when they come to MPT, they find, like you mentioned, familiar faces, familiar shows, a set of impartial voices. We are the PBS is the number one in public trust. So they know that they can come to our station. They'll see their British shows they like. They'll see some news that's impartial. They'll see cooking shows and travel shows. And it's it's a community type of place. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do at MPT as we grow is to listen to the community, find a reason why people would like to be members, because when you are a member of something, after all, you are joining to get something back, and we're trying to give back. And so when viewers do call me, I listen to what they say. I take down what their favorite shows are, and I really try to get back to them as soon as I can.
What are some of the ways that, you know, in the next 50 years, which may be a little bit broad, but we'll go with the next 5 years, just knock the zero off. What are some of the ways that you would like to see MPT grow, even from what it's been since, you know, you've been there 22 years?
Well, certainly we want to continue what we're doing, but we want to expand that, and I'd really like to be even more of a fabric of the community. So the community service that we've done, whether it was the Vietnam veterans or opioids, that's where I'd really like to see us spend a lot of time.
And how important is it? We referenced the pledge drives earlier in the program. How important is that membership that people can have in MPT in keeping its ongoing operations and programming running?
It's very important. And when we thank viewers like you, we really do mean that. And I have to confess here and say I wasn't aware so much of that before I joined public television. But when you are a member of public television, you do feel invested in it, and that's why I take calls from people and I take letters from members and viewers, because we are part of your community and you're part of our community, and we're all in this together.
So I'll end on a fun question for both of you. MPT, as we mentioned, has a wide variety of programming. Can either of you pick a favorite?
I will, and I'm going to pick two if that's okay.
I think I'll allow it.
as I mentioned before, I'm a car guy, so I have always loved Motor Week. But locally, Maryland Farm and Harvest has just been such a surprise to me. When they brought that program to me, I'm thinking, farming? Wow. But when you watch the program, it's a great host, interesting stories. The technology is amazing.
And Kate, anything for you?
Yes. I will also pick two, as I mentioned before. coming from news, Frontline to me is one of the best documentary strands that you can find. I love Frontline, and I also love on the other spectrum, end of the spectrum, our Sunday nights. I love Masterpiece. I know it's there. I'm going to tune in. I'm so glad the Downton Abbey movie is out, just to get a little a little fix of Downton, and so that's where you'll find me on Sunday nights.
Well, I want to thank both of you for the hard work and the dedication and for, you know, all the memories, for, you know, the length of time that both of you have been there, and then also just to MPT for the past 50 years, and here's to another 50. If people would like to get in contact with the station about the 50th anniversary or any of the other programming that they have going on, what are some of the best ways to get in contact?
I think the best way would be to go to the website, and it would be mpt.org/50th.
Okay, and you'll find all the information you need there about the special that's going on this Saturday, October 5th, as well as the traveling exhibit throughout the year. Kate, Larry, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning. I've been speaking with Larry Unger, the president and CEO of Maryland Public Television, and Kate Pearson, the managing director of programming. I'm Nathan Scott, and until next time, have a great day.